OM NAMO BHAGAVATE VASUDEVAYA Before we start, I just wanted to mention something. Sometimes, you know, Krishna is absolutely amazing, you know. Sometimes you have a realization just spontaneously. This morning I was driving in to come here to the temple, and I live in the western suburbs. And all of a sudden, the sun was rising. Because there was so much smog, because of the smoke and everything, you could see the full globe of the sun. And slowly it became more and more intensely glowing. At the time I was playing Janami, singing the Govinda bridge, you know. And it was like welcoming Krishna on that day. And we take it for granted so often, you know, that the sun is rising every day for us. And this big ball in the sky, you know, that you could actually look at. It's absolutely amazing. Krishna is so wonderful, you know. We're so fortunate. Anyway, today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4.28.16. This is an interesting section. So we'll start. OM NAMO BHAGAVATE VASUDEVAYA.
OM NAMO BHAGAVATE VASUDEVAYA.
OM NAMO BHAGAVATE VASUDEVAYA.
OM NAMO BHAGAVATE
VASUDEVAYA. PUTRI PUTRA PUTRAMSCHA. Parichadam,
Dhritri
Putra Putra Putramscha, Jami Jamatri Prasadam, Svatva Vasistam Jalkinche, Triha Kosha Parichadam, Putramscha, Jami Jamatri Prasadam, Svatvava Sistam Chatkinchit, Triha Akosha Parichadam, Drutrihi. King Paranjana then began to think of his daughters, sons, grandsons, daughter-in-laws, son-in-laws, servants, and other associates, as well as his house, his household paraphernalia, and his little accumulation of wealth. Purport. It is not infrequent for a person overly attached to the material body to request a physician to prolong his life at least for some time. If the so-called scientific physician is able to prolong one's life for a few minutes through the use of oxygen or other medicines, he thinks that he is very successful in his attempt, although ultimately the patient will die. This is called the struggle for existence. At the time of death, both the patient and the physician still think of prolonging life, although all the constituents of the body are practically dead and gone. Anugyana timilanda shadvanjuman sarvaya chakshuravilitam yena tasmashi buddhena. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Gurave Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Charine Nevisesha Shundavani Pasta Charvesha Tadine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shvasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama. Daughters and sons, grandsons, daughter-in-law, sons-in-law, servants and other associates, as well as his household paraphernalia, and the little accumulation of his wealth. So the theme of today's Bhagavatam class is the plea to prolong life. The plea to prolong life. Oh, please let me stay a little bit longer. So this is very relevant. He would see King Paranjana, all the gates of his body are shutting, all the different entities are coming to claim his body, and he's freaking out. Oh my God, this is the end. Now we, as many of you know, I do chaplaincy work, spiritual care provision for people, and both myself and Rasa Vilasini, we spend a lot of time with people that are dying. Dying in all different sorts of situations. Some are dying of old age, some are dying at birth, and it's a sad situation. But we try and console people and try to give them some spiritual nourishment at that particular time. So everyone, and a lot of times you see that the individual asks the doctors and the nurses, can you prolong my life just a little bit longer? I need to see my daughter. She's coming from overseas. I need to do this. I need to do that. So there's this prolonging. And also at that time, one starts to reflect one's life. It's said that actually at the time of death, your life passes before you like a movie. You know, and a lot of our patients have actually said that, that somehow or another they remember all the things that they've done in their life. It's like a sequence. I met this person in that. It all comes back to you. So families, you know, think, actually the other thing which is really interesting, when they have that experience of going over their life, as spiritual providers being there at that time, and sometimes we're there at the most intimate time, even when the parents or the family are not there, we're there. And they go through their life and there are things that they have done in their life which they feel they have to get off their chest. It's quite amazing. And sometimes as a spiritual provider, as a chaplain, we become the confessors. Things that they have done in their life which they have never revealed to anybody else, but it's weighing on their heart just before they die. So I've had people actually confess to me of affairs that they've had that their wife has never known about. And they talk about that. We allow them to talk, and they talk about that. And I had one person who was in the Vietnam War, and he killed people unnecessarily. And he came back to Australia as a war hero. But deep down in his heart, he knew he killed some individuals, women and children, that were not the enemy, and just for killing. So this man had harbored this pain in his heart, never told anyone. And he said, Bhakta, I have to tell you this. I have to get it off my chest. I did this. He had to tell someone. So that's the role of a spiritual provider, is actually to be there, not to judge, not to be a forgiver or anything like that, but just allowing the person to tell their story, to get it off their chest. So this is an amazing thing. And we also similarly have to give solace to family members. Very difficult sometimes. You know, like somebody may lose, they've been waiting for years to have a little baby, and then the little baby passes away at birth. And they're so distraught, you know, and so upset. There was so much waiting for this baby to come. And again, we have to advise them and console them. And also when family loved ones are passing away. Recently, we had the most interesting situation where this young woman, 35 years old, was riddled with cancer. She'd been battling cancer for a number of years, and they thought they had it licked. She wasn't going to die of cancer. And you know, she was preparing her life. She had a little daughter, wonderful husband, really nice husband, Indian lady, wonderful husband, beautiful little four-year-old child. She had everything to live for. They had a wonderful house, well situated, but somehow or other, her time was up. And so Russell Villasini was looking after her when she was in the Royal Melbourne Hospital and also Peter Mac Hospital, and consoling her. And she didn't belong to the Hare Krishna faith, but they used to come here to the Hare Krishna temple. They were with the Swami Narayan group, and very nice people. And but Rasa had encouraged her to chant japa. So she was then moved, because they live in Werribee, she was then moved to the Mercy Hospital in Werribee, where the first thing that she asked for was, could I please see the Hindu chaplain? I really need to see Bhakta. So I went to see her immediately when they called me, and I went to see her, and she said, I need to learn how to get in touch with Krishna. I need to know how to meditate. She was still very lucid at that stage. And I said, so are you chanting? I'm japping. She said, yes. But because I'm so weak, I find it very difficult to chant. So I said, okay, that's fine. And the thing was, I was told that prior to meeting her, she would cry every day. Every day she was, you know, can't my life be prolonged just that little bit longer? And she was crying every day because she was losing this gorgeous little four-year-old kid. She's losing this wonderful husband. He's a fabulous guy. And she was crying. And it was sad for us also to see that. So anyway, she asked, could you please teach me to meditate somehow on the holy name of Krishna? So I said, that's okay, you don't need to. If you can chant on your beast, that's wonderful. If you can't, then just meditate on Krishna within. So I gave her a mantra, Krishna name, that she could meditate on silently. And so she did that. And then I kept on coming back to her. And in the end, when she was getting closer to death, she said, you know, Bhakta, Krishna's with me now. Krishna's with me now. And she didn't cry anymore. Her husband said also, she's not crying anymore. And she had made peace with herself. And she passed away very peacefully. It's sad, but it was, in a sense, really rewarding service for us that we could do this for this individual. You know, that she was so in love with Krishna at the end of her life. No, it's not. No, it's absolutely not. It's a job that I have to do, and it's my service to Krishna. And it's only Krishna's mercy that I'm able to do what I'm doing. So as I said, the theme for today is to plead to prolong life. Please let me live a little longer. So we know that it's something that we're all really... Death is so unknown to us. It's so foreign to us, you know. It's a mystery. People are afraid of death. They're really scared of death. Not only death of their own death, but death of their loved ones, you know. So that is why when we greet someone, we don't only say, hello. What's the first thing that we say? How are you? How are you going, mate? Are you still all right? Are you still in this body? Are we okay? You know? And other things that we say, you know, like, are you safe? Be safe. Stay safe. You know? You know, when you got to go, I know that when Bhakti, when I have to go to the temple and you have to drive on this freeway and there's these huge trucks and there's accidents every day, you know, Bhakti says, Bhakti, be safe. You know? So we're always fearing death. Something's going to happen, you know? And it could. So we care, even with our Indian brothers, our Hindu brothers and sisters, you know? Not so much the devotees, although some devotees do it. You know, they wear strings and they do all sorts of things to sort of have protection. From what? So you can prolong life, so you don't die. You know, other things are something may happen or something inauspicious and they knock on wood. Oh, but they save myself. So people are frightened of death, they're fearful of death, because death is unknown. So please God, their prayers are, we hear their prayers in the hospital, we hear them say, please God, please don't let this happen to my loved one. Please spare him, please let me. And so they're praying to God like that. Please don't let him die. Please don't let him die. But everyone has to die. Everybody at one point or another has to die. And when it happens, they fear their own sadness. They're very afraid of themselves. And you know, this is it's unfortunate, but ultimately it's our destiny, you know. Eventually you have to face it. You can't close your eyes and run away from it. And this is the beauty of being devoted. We don't close our eyes to it. We understand that death is inevitable, and that is the final lesson. Why we do these things today, every day, our sadhana, our service, everything is gearing us up, our chanting is gearing us up for that last moment that we have to leave this body. So, you know, most people are running away from it. And even you get the most highly intelligent person, you know, like we do a lot of interfaith work and we deal with professors and solicitors and politicians and people of high standing, and even then they're so afraid. They're so afraid. You'd think they've got intelligence, but they have the wrong intelligence. They have material intelligence. And you know, when you bring up the subject of death, oh, don't be so morbid, Bhakta, don't be so morbid, you know. Oh, stop it, don't talk about death. You know, it's like that. They really are fearful of death. So, Prabhupada in the purport was mentioning how scientists are trying to prolong life. And recently, there has been so-called advancements in this prolonging life. They have, up to a certain point. When you look at the statistics, even you go back 50 years, the average age of a person dying was 67 years of age. Hello, that's my age, you know? And now it's something closer to 75, you know? And then the scientists are actually saying they'll extend life to 120 very soon. 120 years old. I mean, you have Kirk Douglas dying at 103 yesterday. Did anybody know? Do you know, everybody know Kirk Douglas?
Yes.
Movie star of the golden era?
Spartacus.
Huh?
Spartacus.
Spartacus. He died at 103 years old. Well, he was a decrepit old man. Well, if you want me to live until I'm 120 and be like a complete wreck, forget it. You know? So they say that by the study of the human genome, studying the genes, they're able to manipulate it so that you can extend life. And not only are they doing it for the welfare of humanity, that they can live a longer life and perhaps do more good for the world. No, no, no. It's a multi-million-dollar business. Multi-billion-dollar business that they're working on. To prevent death, disease, and old age. But it doesn't solve the problem. Death is still there. Throughout our lives, we're endeavouring to solve the problems that face us, but there's one problem, 100%, you're going to die. We can't get away from it, even though we think we may not. So through all the science, technology, everything that they've got, we understand that there is no solution to this problem. Death is 100% certain, you know, as sure as death. So what is death, and what is life? This is the question that we all have to ask at one stage. And we all did. Otherwise we wouldn't be here in this Hare Krishna movement. We all asked, what does it all mean? I listened to Maharaj's class the other day, and he was saying also when he was a young boy, he was asking his parents, what does it all mean? And they couldn't really answer. And we were all in the same boat. We asked our parents also, and they gave us the classic answer also. Don't be so morbid, don't talk about that, you know? But in the Christian world, great thinkers throughout history have pondered this subject of death. Great thinkers. In the Christian world, Lord Jesus taught that the greatest goal beyond death is to attain eternal life. Maharaj was mentioning this as well. What is the use to gain a whole world but lose your eternal life, the real life, the soul? Muhammad also explained that until you learn to face death in this life, you cannot know the truth of eternity. You cannot know the truth of eternity. So this is Muhammad. So often we're told by non-devotees, oh, I don't believe in death, a life after death, and I don't believe in God. I don't believe in anything, you know. So they're just blocking themselves out, just total ignorance. And so we sometimes as devotees explain to them, well, my dear sir or my dear madam, yes, you have the right to believe whatever you want to believe. You have free will. But there have been great personalities throughout history, millions and millions, thousands and thousands of years, that have explained the necessity of understanding that death is a very important part to life. People like Shankara, Ramanujacharya, whose appearance day was the other day, actually. Other people, such as Madhvacharya, Nimbarkaracharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, same as we were celebrating yesterday. Every great saint and sadhu in India, great souls such as Jesus, St. Francis of Assisi, Muhammad, all the followers of Buddha and his followers, all the Buddha, all his followers, and then also all the Vaishnavacharyas of recent times. All of them, they share one particular quality, and that one particular quality is consistent amongst each and every one of them. All of them are in peace, and they're all with themselves, have peace with themselves, have very little material attachments, very little personal gains, have nothing like Paranjan was here, you know, oh, my wife, my family, my assets and everything. They are all sacrificing their very lives to teach and educate people, to uplift people to a higher consciousness. They are merciful and compassionate. They're all these great teachers. They all spoke of God, and they all spoke of a soul within this body, and they spoke of birth and death and a life beyond death. So these great teachers, all great personalities from all cultures throughout the world, they didn't come here, they're not liars, they didn't come here to cheat us. Actually, through my interfaith study and interfaith work, we've learned that we're not speaking of just one or two intermittent sort of persons throughout history, but actually there are thousands and thousands of great teachers that have tried to educate humanity that this death is but a simple stage and you go on from there. So there may have been thousands of years gaps between different personalities, even thousands of kilometers distance between, from one nation to another nation. You have the indigenous culture, like the Indian community in America, in the Americas. They have very, very advanced knowledge, and they deal very, very differently when it comes to death. The indigenous cultures of Australia, similarly. And then also to right up to the modern great teachers in the Western world. So they all display the same characteristics. They were most virtuous and they had glorious characteristics. Characteristics that were manifest throughout history and were very appreciated by humanity. Everybody respects people of that nature. So they all came to this world to educate the ignorant. The ignorant. The people that had no idea. The people that longed to find out about life and death. So education is the inherent thing to teach real knowledge. Now for those of you that have studied Latin, the word educate comes from the Latin word called educatus. Educatus is the Latin word. And that the meaning, the real meaning of that is the process by which you bring the inherent truth from within. The inherent truth from within. So the truth dwells within you. And education isn't simply, we now have the system of education which basically whitewashes. Everybody know the term whitewashing?
Yeah.
Whitewashing is when you've got a dirty fence or a dirty house and you put a coat of white over the top and it looks clean. So the education system today whitewashes our brains from thinking any deeper. And it's all just material education that's being given to us. So education really means to bring out the inherent knowledge within us, to bring out the truth. So we know deep down, because we're all spirit soul, we know deep down what the truth is. It's just for us to have a teacher and to be able to peel back those ignorant slices and come to the truth. But everybody knows that shloka in the Bhagavad Gita, 2:13, very important shloka. And Prabhupada actually was very adamant that in every introductory lecture that he gave when he first came to America and traveled the world, even here in Melbourne, he would preach this. You're not this body. First thing you have to understand, my friend, is you are not this material body. Quantum science is now coming to this understanding that we're not these material bodies, that we're actually more than that. We're a living entity within this. We are simply a mass of genes, back to atoms and chemicals. So, in the translation to that, as the embodied soul continually passes from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes to another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So what is the meaning of a sober person? It's not only somebody that doesn't take alcohol. A sober person is translated in the Sanskrit as a person who is dhīra, knowing the truth. So Prabhupada, in this purport to that day in Vasubindata, the 2:13, he says, any person who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul, super soul, and nature, so understanding that we are soul, that Krishna is with us as super soul, and nature, that Krishna is everywhere, both material and spiritual, is dhīra. He knows the truth. A most sober person, such a man or woman, is never deluded by the changes of the body. Never under a sway, never confused as to what the purpose of life is. Never deluded by death, never overcome by death. So how to become dhīra, how to become sober, how to become really fixed is the path that we have to take in Krishna consciousness. How to become dhīra. And that is strictly following, 100%. Just being so dedicated to the instructions of Guru and Shastra, just really, really following directly. And in our case, the greatest spiritual teacher, in my opinion, that's ever walked this planet is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He gives the instruction so clearly, so simply, for this age, this fallen age of Kali. You know, and anyone really who has a minute amount of intelligence can understand that actually, yes, this is the truth. So then we have to follow strictly, very strictly. And Prabhupada often compared us, the devotees, and the process of following to a person that's studying at, say, a university and wants to attain a degree. They have to be very focused. Or another analogy is a sports person, you know, to achieve their goal. Recently, we were fortunate enough here in Melbourne to have the Australian Open. Anybody know what the Australian Open is? Okay, they're all the people that watch TV. The Australian Open is the Australian Open tennis. It's a big tennis match. And an interesting thing at the tennis match is that these people, they are the top people. But there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of would-be people that want to become a great tennis player but never make it. You know, and it's interesting, there was one girl who won the Open here, I can't forget her name, but she's an American girl. Yeah. And she started playing tennis when she was 3 years old.
Kennan.
Huh? What is her name?
Kennan,
is it? Okay, yeah. A bright young woman. You know, and the father realized, oh, this person has got a talent. And so he encouraged her. And she dedicated her life to tennis. She didn't go to college, she didn't go to university, because she followed this path of tennis. Now and she was successful. At 21 years of age or something, she became the winner of the big cup. Wonderful. And $4 million, I think, was the prize money.
$4 million for the winner, $2 million for the loser.
For the loser. So there's big stakes there. But thousands and thousands of people that were the same as this young girl, that had an aspiration to be the best in their particular sport, especially a sport where it's not a team. where you don't get the backing of your teammates, that it's a solo activity, like tennis or swimming. You have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start training every single day. Every single day they do laps. And for what? You know, to get a little gold medallion once every 4 years. And they go on and on, or to win a tennis match. Thousands never make it. They go their whole youth working very hard, running, swimming, you know, learning all these different techniques and stuff. And then in the end, they're just not good enough, or circumstances are coming the way, some illness is coming the way, or something has happened, and they don't make it. And yet, they strive so hard to do this. We as devotees, Prabhupada was saying, we have to be like that. Diligent, sober, really determined, following strictly. And Prabhupada said that our goal is that it's not fleeting. That we may win, we may not win, we may get the $4 million, or even if we're a loser, get $2 million. We're not after that. But Prabhupada says, if you dedicate yourself to Krishna consciousness, if you dedicate just this lifetime, he used to say, just dedicate this lifetime to Krishna, you will be victorious. Every one of us will stand on the podium as number one. Krishna doesn't let us down. Everyone wins. Even a person takes up just a little bit of Krishna consciousness, everyone wins. So, but we have to follow strictly. And sometimes we have devotees and they ask, you know, well, sometimes we may feel that we're not doing enough. We're not strict enough. You know, people have that. We can understand that. We have sometimes, you know, like Grihastha couples that have difficulties. It's not easy to be a Grihastha. You're out there in the material world. You have to provide for your family. And the wife has to provide for her children. Nowadays, it's pretty well incumbent upon both parents to go out and work to make enough to survive. So I have devotees saying, you know, sometimes it's difficult for me. You know, I mean, I don't have the facility to actually get up every morning to chant. I have to chant on the train. You know? I have to finish my rounds when I get home from work. It's difficult. Sometimes, Prabhu, I forget to chant my Gayatri because we've been so busy at work. Or the children have been playing up and they were ill and I just couldn't finish my rounds. You know, and we're trying desperately to follow the principles that we do to the best of our ability.
Or somebody is sick in the family.
Huh?
Somebody is sick in the family.
Yeah, and you have to look after that person. So, you know, there are all these many different things that are impediments, perhaps, to our sadhana. And sometimes I ask, you know, sorry, but, you know, I just can't be as strict as I want to be. And they find difficulty in that, and they actually feel guilty sometimes. Is it? You got some non-modus or something?
Yeah, everything is okay in the temple, but the radio and other people, they can't hear.
Okay, no problem. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Here it is good.
Thank you, Guru. So, I don't like it in my head, in my face. So anyway, you know, sometimes I ask and they feel a little guilty. But compared to the non-devotees, we are light years ahead of them, as far as knowledge and growth. So we shouldn't be too upset. We just do the very best that we can in the circumstances that we're in. There's that shloka in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Apichitsutsuracharo, Bhajate Mamananyabhak. Krishna is so merciful, he says that even if one commits the most abominable action, if one is engaged in devotional service, he is considered to be saintly because he is properly situated. Anything that we can do. That's why this is a preaching mission. We try and engage people to the best of our abilities to do the best they can in Krishna consciousness. Just like this lady, she wasn't a full devotee, and yet we encouraged her to chant Hare Krishna and to meditate on Krishna, and in the end she had that feeling that Krishna was with her. So Prabhupada, in that purport to 930, he says, therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and is engaged with determination in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, determination, wake up every morning and say, yes, I want to chant my rounds, Father. In the process of chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, should be considered to be in a transcendental position. Even if by chance or by accident he is found to have fallen, the words sadhur eva, he or she is saintly. And it's very emphatic. That's what Krishna is saying. They are a warning to non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. We shouldn't ever think, oh, look at them, they're just not following properly. Oh, they could be doing better. You know, this point of pride, pointing out somebody's faults. And if you have to point out faults, it should be done lovingly. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for accidentally falling down, then he is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. So you do that with the best of your ability. And you should never, ever be disheartened. You can try for more. Every day we can try and strive for more. Just do the very best that you can, and it's good. Grihastha devotees especially have that. There are difficulties. But even in the Brahmachari ashram, there are difficulties. But you just do the best you can. And never entertain. The mind loves to get on the guilt train. The mind, you know how we've had many discussions recently about the mind and how we should control the mind. One of the ways the mind actually gets us and really disturbs us is the guilt train. It's making you feel guilty. Oh, I've done this. Oh, I should be chanting my rounds better. Oh, I fell down. Oh, I should be doing more. Oh, I didn't chant my Gayatri. Oh, I didn't do this. Yes, we should develop the best we can. But if we get to this point of feeling guilty, that, oh, well, I may as well give up. It's all too hard for me. This is actually a pity. That's actually a shame. And we shouldn't strive for that at all. So, be gentle on yourself. Be gentle in family life. Don't be bogged down with guilt. Absolutely don't. Let it go. If something has happened, catch your hands up the next day. If it's been such a difficult thing, dust off and start again. Understand that you've been given the greatest gift to go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna's right there. He's saying, I'll look after you. It's okay. Krishna's giving you a guarantee. You know, Sarvadama Kuricha Gyamana Kansaranamaka. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. Krishna says, I'll look after you. You just look, come to me and I'll look after you. Just forget everything else. It's fine. I'm here with you. Krishna's here with you. So, we shouldn't endeavor too much, but in the same token, we should also take pride and become puffed up if we're following to such an extent where we're looking for people to show us. Or to look at us, oh, how pure is that person? How fully Krishna conscious is that person? You know, that is false. Don't be false also. Be true to yourself. Be honest. And be a good devotee. Be humble. And so this is a very important thing. Also, you have the situation where we shouldn't over-endeavor or overextend ourselves in devotional service, where it actually impacts on other people's lives. You know, where it impacts on other people's lives, especially in the Grihastha ashram. And this was something that was happening in the early days of Krishna consciousness, where a family would be very, a husband and wife would be very enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness, and they were diligent to the extent where they neglected their children. Where they really neglected their children. And then consequently, the children ended up not being devotees. Prabhupada said, your first service as a Grihastha is to look after your children. That means you look after them both physically and spiritually. That they're comfortable, that they're safe, that they're not vulnerable, they're not in a dangerous predicament, both from material onslaughts and that you are a loving, caring parent showing affection. It's very important. In the early days also, grihastha couples, it was just unheard of for a devotee husband and wife to hold hands. It was unheard of. Oh, Prabhu, you're in Maya. Unheard of. You know, but in a marriage, in a relationship, there has to be affection. There has to be connection between the couple. It's a deep relationship. And the children see that loving relationship and they respond to that. My mom and dad love each other. So don't be overachieving in perfection in your sadhana. Be normal. Be normal. So this is really an important thing. And the most important thing is that we have association. Now, association is an interesting thing. When we analyze association, there are many different areas of association that we should really be focusing on. First and foremost is, of course, association with the Lord through chanting. We have to associate with the Lord. We understand Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, everybody is instructed us, Srila Prabhupada has instructed us. When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is there in the sound vibration of His holy name. Right there.
Dancing.
Yeah, dancing on your tongue. So this is associating with Krishna. So if you see that your task every day when you're chanting is to associate with the Holy Lord, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is my chance to be with the Lord, it's a wonderful... God is reciprocal, and you'll get that feeling, oh, God is here with me, Krishna is here. So the other one is association with your spiritual master, with the teachings, with Srila Prabhupada. And how you do that is by reading. So you read to the best of your ability, as much as you can. And when you read Prabhupada's purports, you are with Srila Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said, I wrote these books for my disciples. So when we read the books, Prabhupada's books, we are associating with Prabhupada. So many times people tell me, you know, oh gee, I wish I had association with Prabhupada. You know, and sometimes you have it, you know, oh, were you a Prabhupada disciple? And which is wonderful. But they may have met Prabhupada like once or twice in their life, if any at all. But Prabhupada is the guru, the Jagat Guru for all of us, the Param Guru for all of us. You know, he is there for us. And he's there in his translations, in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. He's given us all these different things where we can associate with him, be with him. So association in that area is important. Association with worshipping the deity is important for us. And to the best of our abilities, so we chant what we can, 16 rounds minimum, more if we can. We read Srila Prabhupada's books. It's advised that we read at least an hour every day if you can. So switch off the tennis, read it a little bit. It's easy to do. That we the other one is that we worship the deity form of the Lord. Now that is worship here at the temple, which is wonderful, we should. But our home should also become a temple. And that doesn't mean you necessarily have to have deities. It's wonderful if you can make that commitment. But if you haven't got time for that, still have a place in your home which has pictures of the deities, which you come to first thing in the morning, and you offer your obeisances to, and recognize that Krishna is the source of my existence, Krishna is the source of everything, and I humbly surrender to His lotus feet, and let me serve for Him in this day. The house doesn't belong to you. The house belongs to Krishna. So set up a place in your house which is Krishna's altar. That sacred shrine to Krishna, to God, should be there in every house and associate with that. So when you're doing your reading, read in front of the deities, read in front of the pictures of Radha and Krishna like that. And let your children also see, wow, Prabhu and Manaji are really understanding that Krishna, this is Krishna's house. Make it a point. Then the other thing is service. Association in service. Do as much service as you possibly can. Either at home, serving your partner in life, serving your children in Krishna consciousness. That means encouraging them in their devotional life. having a little class, encouraging in so many different ways, and also service to the devotees at the temple or at different programs that are being held, actually give your time to actually do something for Krishna. And then that association. Take time to associate with other devotees. Very important. Establish deep friendships with other devotees. Really get close to each other. So then when there is difficulties, when there's feelings of guilt or something is difficult, that you have someone that you can go to, or he's my very dear friend, I can consult with him, I can ask his or her advice on a particular thing, and I know that it's in confidence, that it's not going to be gossiped around the place. Oh, did you know that Bhakti didn't change his rounds the other day? Did you know that? He's out of it. You know, Krishna's saying that before. If you do that, that's a detriment to your own devotional service. So if you seek someone that is your friend, develop deep friendships. Deep friendships. And that is, again, association. You need that. There are so many enticements in the material world. We have so many different work associates and this associate and everything. But our devotee associates, our devotee friends are so special. We're all going to be in the spiritual world together. You know? And say, hey, Krishna Gana, you're here, you know? My brother, my godbrother. And we'll all have young bodies by then too, you know, just enjoying Krishna's pastime. So we have to look at that. We have to be associating with other devotees. Actually, it's an interesting thing. When we're talking on this point of death, a couple of my close friends, we made a pact together. We made a pact. We said, we promised each other, we will be there at the time when it's your time or one of our times to go. Wherever we are in the world, wherever we are, you're my close friend, and I promise you that I will help you at that time to cross over. And we, Nasringadev was one of those people, and we had the opportunity to be with him, not right at the last minute, but when he passed away, all the friends were there. It was just a small group. It wasn't like a big, the closest friends. And we all said, I'll be there for you. Will you be there for me? Yes, I'll be there for you. And we made a pact. The ladies can do that too. I'll be there for you when the time comes. And when you have that close friendship, oh, my friend is here. He's going to help me cross over. You know? And it's a wonderful thing. Absolutely wonderful thing. We've seen so many devotees passing away in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna has never, ever let them down. In Mayapur, I saw a few devotees passing away, and it was wonderful. It was so incredibly amazing, so uplifting. You know, how they had these visions of Krishna coming. And even when Narayani Mataji was here, and she was explaining about that sannyasi who had fallen away after Prabhupada had left and got into all sorts of things. And even at the time of death, you know, he was in a coma and then came out of the coma. And then when he came out of the coma, you know, the doctors were all amazed. And he sat up and he said, Prabhupada, you've come. Prabhupada never leaves us. Krishna will never leave us. He'll be with us. So it's an interesting thing. So the other part, the final thing is that most importantly, that you give Krishna conscious association to non-devotees. But do it in a mood of love and respect. Do it in the mood of love and respect. Non-devotees, our work colleagues, our next-door neighbour, people that we meet on the train, you know, when we're sitting on the train and we're perhaps chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Somebody asks, what are you doing, mate? Well, I'm actually chanting the names of God. And get into a conversation. Talk to people. We are communicating individuals. And Prabhupada wants us to spread this movement. Lord Chaitanya wants us to spread this movement all over the world. It will only spread if we do it with love and respect and friendship. It won't happen if we push. You know, like sometimes we have the situation of book distribution. And the target is how many books can I distribute. That's not what it's about. It's about how you follow up with somebody giving a book. You know, like if you're giving a book to someone, have a little card as well. Say, look, read this book. I'd really like you to read this book. And if you have any questions, this is my card. Call me and I'll talk to you about it. So that's then establishing a personal rapport. Not that, here's your book, here's your book, here's your book, and giving them lecture. That's not us. Our thing is that we associate with other people with friendship and love and respect. Because respect that other person is what Krishna says. The spirit soul is laying dormant within that person's heart as well. So you are now the vehicle of your Guru Maharaj or Srila Prabhupada to bring that person to some level of Krishna consciousness. Whatever that may be. If in this life all they can do is chant Hare Krishna a little bit, at the end of life, that's what will manifest. So this is really important that we become a preaching mission. That's what we are. But that preaching mission is that it's a mission of love and respect to other fallen conditioned souls. We were all fallen. I was a much fallen. I was a rotten person, doing all sorts of nonsense things. And Maharaj was explaining, you know, a great personality like Maharaj was explaining also. He was just a normal person, wondering about life. You know, but by Krishna's mercy, we've received such a wonderful education. This is Krishna consciousness. It's so fulfilling. So we have to. So, tomorrow is a wonderful time. Anybody know what day it is tomorrow? Rathayatra! Yes. Rathayatra! Lord Jagannath is coming from the altar to just benefit everybody. And not a styrofoam Lord Jagannath, which is also good. But this is the deity that's being worshipped every single day with so many offerings, so many artis, so many great souls have worshipped and dressed him and looked after him. And that Supreme Lord is going out to the St. Kilda Festival to benedict people. Unbelievable. Lord Jagannath is coming out. So we have to take full advantage of the Lord's association on that day, because the Lord is there on the current, and do as much service as we can for the Lord on that day. I have to really work. What can I do, Prabhu? What can I do? I need to do some service. Jagannath is coming. God is coming to the St. Kilda Festival. There's so many opportunities. And the thing is, you know, like I mentioned before, how important this is, how important Rathayatra actually is. When you look at it from an esoteric, from a spiritual point of view, what's happening, you know, here you have the Rathayatra. There's the cart with the deity of Krishna, who's been worshipped by so many devotees, who is authorized by Srila Prabhupada, by all the acharyas, that this is God in a deity form. This is the mailbox for all your desires and wishes to know God. If you pray to Jagannath, you're praying to God. So here we have God coming out to the public, right? And if the public is respectful, and if a person that sees the Rathayatra is understanding, wow, this is something really special. Even if they're not that clued up or have any understanding, but they think, wow, look how beautifully they've decorated this, and that's supposed to be God. And they say, well, I'll pull the rope, I'll pull this rope a little bit, you know, this is fun, and the chanting is going on. At the time of death, like I mentioned before, all the different things in your life go before you. They flash before you. Believe me, we're dealing with this on a daily basis. It's true. Everything flashes before you. If they have been respectful to Lord Jagannath, and if they have pulled the rope, if they've at least had some acknowledgement that this is wonderful, everything from there on in stops. The last thing they think about in their life is, wow, I went to the St. Kilda Festival and I saw this beautiful Krishna. This is what we're giving to the world. This is what Srila Prabhupada has brought to the Western world. This is an amazing thing. It's not only us that are doing it now. Did you know that? We're not the only ones that are doing Rathayatras. The Swami Narayan group do a regular Rathayatra, and you know, so many different people do different Rathayatras. But we are empowered by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, who is the Param Guru for the whole world. He is the greatest personality, in my opinion. So, we have this time. And you know, like actually, I noticed this week, I don't know if you saw it as well, there's been a controversy in Puri, where the so-called pandits and brahmanas and everything have been criticizing, even the king of Puri has been criticizing ISKCON for having Bharatiyatras around the world at the wrong time and all this kind of stuff. And there was one image, I don't know if you saw it online, where they got a picture of Radha Swami and put a big cross over it. They burnt the thing and were stomping with their feet on this picture of Radha Swami representing ISKCON. And they were saying ISKCON should be kicked out of India because of they're breaking the principles of this Rath Yatra. They had no idea what Lord Jagannath wants. Prabhupada knew at a very young age. At a very young age, he had his own little Rath Yatra to enliven and to enthuse and to bring people to Krishna consciousness, even at that very young age.
Yeah.
And that neighbour of his family gave him the little Rath car. And Lord, and Srila Prabhupada did that. And then as soon as we had the opportunity here in the West, Prabhupada said, now we have to do Rath Yatra. Even a stolen little Jagannath. Remember? The pastimes that the Jagannath was... Who stole it? Malati.
Malati.
A five-finger discount. Thank you. And Prabhupada saw, oh, you bought Jagannath and offered his obeisances straight away. So Jagannath is so merciful. And this is the opportunity to engage everybody in the service of Jagannath. Bringing Krishna, and if someone asks you, why are you pulling the ropes? Because people will ask you that. Why are you pulling the ropes? Why do you do that? You simply say, the process of pulling the ropes is bringing God back into my heart. I've lost God. I've lost that connection with the Supreme. By me pulling this rope, I'm bringing God back into my heart. I want God back into my heart. I want Krishna in my heart. Because that will alleviate all fears. When you have Krishna, you have no more fear. You know? Abhay. You know? Fearless. A devotee becomes fearless. And if death comes, it comes. So be it. But we've made the plans. So then we are wonderfully situated. We've got a fabulous program ahead of you. This is our 10th anniversary of Rath Yatra here in Melbourne at the St. Kilda Festival. 10 years. The devotees run over, you go over there and come down and bring this wonderful big chariot. Jagannath comes from the altar. 10 years we've been doing this. Last night we were on the Channel 9 news. I don't know if anybody saw that. Yeah, they were advertising because it's the 40th anniversary of the St. Kilda Festival. So they're expecting over half a million people to come tomorrow. So from that 500,000, we'll get about 40,000 people coming to the Vedic village. First of all, they get the opportunity to see Lord Jagannath. Then they'll come down to the festival. And then we give them our secret weapon. What's our secret weapon, folks? Prasadam! And we have a new Prasadam Acharya, Manamohan Prabhu, who gave an absolutely wonderful class yesterday on Lord Nityananda. Has anybody here heard that class?
Yes.
If you get an opportunity, if you haven't heard it, just listen to it. He's a fine young devotee, a devotee that's growing so nicely in Krishna consciousness. And he's in charge of the prasadam, and he said to Sukadeva Prabhu and myself and Prabhu Das, I want to do more prasadam distribution at the festival. Make arrangements that I can have at least 6 different stalls, all different prasadams. Jalebi, samosas, pizza, this one, that one, all different things, fruit juices, you name it, kachori, whatever. You know, big signs, vegetarian, vegan. You know, so people will come and guess what? They take Krishna prasad. And again, it enlivens them to be spiritual, it enlivens them to become God conscious. So this is a great thing. So picking up from that mood of Lord Nityananda, we're out there to enliven people spiritually. It's for our satisfaction as well, but we're doing this to encourage people. So if you see someone that you think has never had anything to do with Krishna consciousness, don't leave it to somebody else to talk to them. Befriend them. You know, just go up to them and say, what do you think? Are you enjoying yourself here today? I'm a member of the Hare Krishnas. Are you happy here today? Yeah, I think it's fabulous. You know, have you had your fortune read yet? What do you mean? Oh, we've got wonderful Bhagavad Gita fortune reading over here. It'll tell you your fortune. Really? You know, the most popular thing at the Rath Yatra Festival is the Bhagavad Gita reading class. When everything else is finished at 9 o'clock at night, isn't it, Mataji? Everything else is finished, there's still a line of people waiting. I'm waiting. And they wait. There's like 20, 30 in the line. And then the devotees actually pick a card, any card, and it's a Bhagavad Gita card, and this will tell you about what you should do for your future. People love it. Are you on the store this year?
Yes, sir.
Good idea. So, you know, this is a wonderful thing. So when you're talking to someone, have you had your fortune read yet? What do you mean? Well, you can find out what's ahead of you for this year. You know, what Krishna, what God has planned for you. If you go and have a look at that card over there. And have you had the pizza yet? You know, the pizzas are delicious. They're practically divine. Really? Yeah. Go and try it out. This is really good. When someone else is a Westerner, you know, a real Aussie. Hey, yeah, you going, mate? You know, yeah, come down here, have a look. You know, so have you ever tried Indian foodstuffs? You've got to try a samosa. What do you mean, samosa? What's a samosa? It's this really delicious little thing. It's got veggies in it. You will love it with the sauce on top, you know. Okay, mate, yeah, no worries. And walk them across there. Let them have the shower. Everyone is responsible. Everyone. Don't leave it up to someone else. Oh, I'm here just to look at the entertainment. I want to see my children up on the stage doing their little dance. You know? And now we go home. No! Take association. Do the needful. Bring people to Krishna consciousness. 40,000 people are coming to our store. Everyone should be on edge, ready to receive them. Ready to actually give the mercy. You know? This is our time. This is practically the biggest expose of Krishna consciousness in the year. Make the most of it. Really make the most of it. And in the mood of Lord Nityananda that we were celebrating yesterday, go out and preach in Haridas Thakur. Just go out and preach. Do the needful. So I wish you all the best tomorrow. Let's have fun. Let's associate with one another. Let's have a whopping big kirtan. Madhi Prabhu, anybody know Madhi Prabhu? Madhi Brinkman Prabhu?
Yeah.
He's leading the kirtan through the Rath Yatra. And then there's going to be the stage is now next to the altar is now next to the stage. So Jagannath will be singing everything. We'll be singing Jagannath while we're sitting there. So it's an ecstatic time. It's an ecstatic time. So everybody should really... we welcome the devotees from Yagovardhan who are again here to help us and drive the cart. So it's going to be a fun day. So please, everybody be on hand and help as much as possible. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Any comments or questions that anybody may have about Rath Yatra or anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
This one comment is, as you said, thank you very much for a very inspiring. In our Bhakti Kashi class, we were told by our mentor, Keshava Prabhu, that even if we make 70% progress, Lord Chaitanya will give 100%.
Yeah, that's right.
So we have all the assurance that we have to inspire everybody to be more and more to
Krishna. Yeah, exactly.
The second point was what we were telling, I'm just repeating, and somebody A, B, C, D. A is for destination. B for reading Krishna Prabhupada books. C is chanting. D, as Tom said, deity worship. And E, Vrindavan Das. And what else?
Actually, I wanted to mention one other thing while I'm thinking on this topic of death. As you know, we've had these severe bushfires, right? And there's been a lot of death and destruction that have gone on. And we're not callous individuals. We don't turn around and just say, well, that's karma. We had an interfaith program recently in the city, and all the spiritual leaders from Melbourne were there. All the politicians were there, and we all prayed in unison for those people that had lost their lives, that had lost their livelihoods, that had all the animals and insects and birds that had passed away, all the pastures that were destroyed.
And houses.
And houses. And in particular also the heroes that sacrificed their own lives to protect other individuals. Prabhupada said these people are soldiers, you know, and soldiers get the mercy of Krishna if they're fighting the right cause. These firemen were fighting the right cause. And it takes a moment for us to also remember that. And it was a wonderful experience. I'll remember it to the day I die, where all these saintly people from all the different faith traditions came together and were in unison praying and eulogizing those wonderful people. So it's something that we can think about, because the fire season isn't over yet, and we may be called on to do some service. But don't ever become blasé with that as well.
I will complete. My third point was the lassi you gave, you gave that to Kushwai people. How much they appreciate?
Oh, yeah.
Lassi. They said Hare Krishna are the best.
No. Not this time. No, not this time.
Yeah.
This time the Sikhs were amazing. The Sikh community really went all out to help, and they distributed so much food, you know. And when the Sikh representative, he's a very dear friend of mine, was there also, the Premier singled him out, brought him up to the stage and hugged him and said, thank you so much for helping our community. I've got a couple of proposals for the next AGM that we're going to have, that we start developing a Food for Life emergency team. We should be there. Okay. That should be us, distributing prasad.
Sorry, I was talking about the other years when you were
here. Oh, that was just a small time thing. Anyway, Prabhu, any other comments or questions at all? We finish? Another one. Mahatmaji, you're full of it today.
The other one is the guaranteed Lord Krishna Ji, 1923.
The what?
And the nearest champion to Mount. Ye jana paripasi, eshanti dhirta nam, yokshimam ramam. That means, yokshimam means, whatever you possess, I guarantee to preserve it, and whatever you lack, I'll give you.
That's true.
So who can give such a undertaking?
A guarantee.
Complete insurance.
That's true. Best insurance policy.
Best insurance policy. For the whole.
Maharaj, you want to make any comments on the Maharaj? No, it's a pleasure, Maharaj. Thank you. No other comments, ladies? Everybody okay? Yes, Prabhu.
Just to reiterate that our verse today is you've been speaking on how we prepare for death.
Mm.
And that you've very nicely explained that our whole movement is a cultural and an educational movement whereby we share these teachings with other people for that final exam.
Yes. It's the final exam. Some of the kids are having an exam here today, aren't they? And they were freaking out about that. Oh, it's the final exam. We're all going to have this test. Are you all going to have it today?
Yeah.
They're doing the test?
No, I
haven't. So, yeah, the final test, Mataji. Yep, that's it. Isn't it wonderful? ISKCON is moving into this phase where it's just like a complete,
yes.
It's sort of like coming complete.
Correct.
You know? It's not fragmented anymore, there's no gaps anymore, it's not complete.
Correct.
It's such a nice family. Yes. It's such a wholesome family. Now the only thing is our target now is to bring more Western bodied people to this family.
Yes.
That's our target. And Ratiyatra is a good thing for that.
Yes, very good.
You know? So bring as many people as you can. Okay? I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Ratiyatra ki.
Yeah.